Nice win for Colorado State last night. They took down Air Force on the road, 69-53, shorthanded, man. I mean, I kind of thought they might get a win. I don't know that I thought it was going to go quite that way, especially in that second half. Joining us now, CSU Rams assistant basketball coach Ali Farokhmanesh. Coach, man, thanks so much for giving us some time. Congratulations to you guys grabbing that win. Maybe kind of a gritty W for you guys last night.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Brady. No, it definitely was. It was fun to see our guys compete the way they did. And to be honest, we've been competing all season, and it's been fun watching them come together. It's come together in different ways because it feels like we have a different lineup every single night.
Oh, my gosh, right.
You look down at the bench, and I'm yelling out random names to sub in. I'm like, oh, he's not here. All right. So I'm like, oh, that guy's not here either. All right, so you go ahead and get in.
Dude, that has to be so. Again, it's frustrating. It's sports. We see it, but man, it seems like you guys have just had this revolving door of players just not getting the guys in that you thought. We knew the David Roddy situation was what it was. We knew what was happening, but then at the beginning of the season, you have your roster ready. You know who it's going to be. Then the injuries happen. Then sickness happens, and it's got to be frustrating for you guys.
Yeah, it is, and you know, I think it's frustrating for the guys. You know, it is what it is, and no one cares. Actually, probably most people that we play against enjoy it more. And it was tough. You know, you have David, and the best thing in the world. You hope that you get to live out that situation, that you get to help someone realize their dream of making it to the NBA. But then, when someone makes that decision on June 1st, you're not really going to find a replacement because.
Sure.
Nobody wanted to sign up for David's position, knowing that there's a possibility if David comes back, well, yeah, you're not going to play. So it was hard to get someone to sign up for that originally. And you're seeing some of that in terms of the size and some of the athleticism that we're missing right now. But the guys are showing up and they're fighting every night. And it's been fun to see that no matter who we put out there, who's stepped up or the next guy that's ready to go, like, I mean, Trace Young last night plays 12 minutes and significant minutes, and he's a plus four in the plus or minus category. And I think that's a credit to him just staying ready, and he's been here for 3 years now and has never really played in a game that mattered to that magnitude. And he was ready to go and provided huge minutes for us and actually got Isaiah two breaks, one in the first half and the second half. So that was just as big as anything else. Is I asked Isaiah in the second half, he needed another break, and he said yes, and I was like, okay, well, let's figure this out.
Well, that's what's got to be. Because, again, you know, when you look at rosters, especially this deep into the season, you know, you ideally, coach, and correct me if I'm wrong, you want to have a backup for everybody. You just in case you have foul trouble, guys get tired, injuries, whatever, you have a backup for every position. Tough to do that when what, eight guys got minutes last night?
No, it's extremely hard, and it's hard just because you don't know who's going to be there each game to game. And it seems like every meeting we come into over the last 3 months, that something, we get some text message or some notification that this guy's sick or this guy got hurt or this guy's not feeling well or something else is going on. And we've had to adjust on the fly and kind of adjust what we're doing. I mean, in the Utah State game, we end up playing zone pretty much the entire game. And guys are playing in positions they hadn't played before. And they handled it great. We were competing with them to the very end. We just didn't quite have enough to finish that one. But if you look at all the games this season, there's been two games that we really haven't been in. And New Mexico was one of them. And that's when we had Tavy and Lake were both out. And we were playing Pat at the four. Had never done that before. And then you look at the Boise State game, and they played great that game, and we didn't play as well, and that's going to happen some nights. But every other game, we've been in it or been, especially these early on, we were in every single game with probably two possession games. So they've been fighting, and that's all you can ask for at the end of the day. Are they giving it their all? Are they competing? And they've been doing that, and Isaiah and John and some of the other guys have shown great leadership and really shown that ups and downs don't matter. Like, we're going to show up every day and work.
Well, and seeing John Tanjay get a nice game, what, 21 points for him last night. Both Isaiah and John, extremely efficient. They weren't taking a lot of shots, but they were just efficient last night. Joining us now, CSU assistant men's basketball coach, Coach Ali Farokmanesh. Coach, just going back, because I'm really curious. I don't know how you guys do what you do. You know, the way you recruit, you're always working. You're coaching guys. You're watching film. You're trying to build your team, but then you're constantly recruiting for the future, 1 year, 2 year, 5 years down the road. You're also re-recruiting now with the way the transfer portal is. You're trying to make sure everybody's happy. That process, knowing about, you know, David Roddy doesn't make that announcement until June. Realistically, what's that like? I mean, are you trying to find guys to replace him and then knowing that most guys are going to say, yeah, if he's still there, we're not coming. So how much of a focus do you put on that? Did you have to put your focus elsewhere? Can you walk us through some of that process? Because I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, you're still trying to recruit that position just because, I mean, it was so 50-50, and that was the hardest part with David's issue. And you don't blame David at all. It just kind of was what it was. And I don't blame those other guys, too, either, because if you're transferring somewhere, you want to go somewhere where you're going to have at least an opportunity to compete to play. And if you came here, there was a good chance you were going to compete to play against the 23rd pick in the NBA draft, so good luck.
Yeah.
So it was a hard sell to get someone to do that. And it definitely hampered us in some ways. But the process is so interesting now, especially in the spring, when you almost kind of – I mean, we had an amazing season, six seed, probably one of the best seasons in CSU history. And instead of in the years past where you get a chance to kind of sit back and reflect and enjoy it and kind of remember the good times of the season for the first time once it ends, you instantly go back into recruiting, like instantly. There's no time to think about it. And, I mean, we were recruiting from basically March, mid-end of March until – I mean, we had a kid on campus June 9th. So
wow.
You're recruiting the whole way through. I mean, my wife almost divorced me because we're in Disneyland, and I had to call a kid in the middle of Disneyland with my kids. So it's the transfer portal in the spring has definitely changed things in terms of how you go about the way you do things. But I think we're in a better situation this spring than previous years to handle that and be more prepared for it. And our administration and the community has really supported us to be able to do some more things in the spring.
You weren't taking the phone like on a roller coaster, like the phone call on a roller coaster or anything, Coach. That would have been a difficult conversation.
I avoided that one. I didn't want to get a lawsuit on my hands at the same time. I was going to get divorced and a lawsuit, so that would have been good.
Star college basketball player, coach, found on a roller coaster on the cell phone. That would have been fascinating. Man, again, you know, you guys, what I love about you guys, your coaching staff, you guys are so real. I remember, Coach, I won't say where exactly, but I saw you at a park the day after. I think it was the day after the Michigan game. And, you know, just talking to you, and you're like, dude, I was like, they don't give you any time to, like, hang out for a little bit. No, it's like you're out the door. But still, it was such a magical time for Colorado State. What you guys did last year and continuing to grow that brand, how difficult has it been for you guys, you as a coaching staff, you with your teammates, knowing, you know, the difference between February 8th last year compared to this year, they've been two totally different seasons.
Yeah, no, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say it was extremely hard. It's been great in the sense that we have great kids. And I remember when we first got here, Nico always talked about you got to find people you can lose with first, and then you'll start winning. And we have kids that fit that. And now we got to get back to what it was and get back to what we have been and what we need to be going forward. And we have that competitive advantage. We've had some misfortunes, and that's part of – I think you don't realize that until you go through a season like this, that sometimes there is a lot of luck that plays into it. Like, we got very lucky last year that we never had a significant injury or a significant illness or something that happened to derail our season. Kendall and John had the meniscus issues, but both of them only missed one game. And so we never got to that point last year, which is incredible. Usually, if you want to have a special year like we did, it kind of has to go that way. And I think that's, you appreciate those times, but now we're also realizing, like, we got to get back to what we've always have been. And the competitive edge that we have always had, the competitive desire to go out there and give it everything you have. And we got to get back to that a little bit. But it's been fun noticing that change even within this group. And you forget kind of last year that we had such continuity coming back that there wasn't a lot of that teaching going on. It was kind of already instilled in them from previous years. And you had to bring Chandler along. But now we added a ton of new pieces. And sometimes it takes a while to gel those pieces together, especially when you never know which piece is going to be in from game to game either. So it's definitely been a challenge, but I've been proud of the way that our guys have handled it throughout the year.
Well, yeah, you talk about building chemistry and camaraderie and all that stuff throughout the course of the year. That's really hard to do when the lineup, I'm glad you guys are having trouble with it, because I'm always like, who's playing now? Okay, that guy. I'm half expecting a phone call at some point from you guys. You know, I'll give you a minute of tough defense, coach. I think I got a year of eligibility. Isaiah Stevens is such a special player, such a special guy. We get a chance to do, of course, the Isaiah Stevens show with him. I told him, man, I said, I know you got a great playing career ahead of you no matter what you decide to do. I know coaching is there, but I'm serious. He's one of those guys where I'm not even joking walking away. I'm like, he could easily take my job someday. He's good at talking, too.
No, I mean, he's got that dynamic personality. That's what makes him special. I mean, there's not a lot of guys that come into your program and just have an immediate impact. Not only on the court, there's been some good players here before too, but I mean, in terms of the community and how he approaches things. And it was funny, we did a leadership thing with our players one day, and won't say who said it and whatnot, but we're going around the room and they're saying, like, who was your favorite leader? Who is the best leader you've ever been around that's impacted you in some form or fashion? And seven of the guys on our roster said Isaiah.
Wow.
And that's special, and that does not happen every day, especially from your peers. So we'll get good players in here again, obviously, but I don't know if there will be another Isaiah Stevens ever.
No, he's a special kind of guy. You had some of those. I mean, you know, over the last couple of seasons, obviously David Roddy, we've seen some very special players. And again, a testament to you guys and the work you're putting in to find these players. Coach, last one. I always love the tradition. It's actually one of my favorite sports traditions. You guys put the picture out when you go to the gas station, the convenience store, whatever, after a nice win. I mean, that win had to feel so good, shorthanded, found a way to do it, and then you ran away kind of in that second half. But you stop at the gas station there, and then everybody picks something out and goes to the photo so all of us can just sit there and zoom in and figure out who's getting what. That's my favorite part, because then I can judge every one of you guys for that one. I'll be like, who does Skittles, man? What's going on with that?
No, it's a great tradition. I don't know when it started, but we just started doing it, and then it kind of just transformed into this whole thing about, man, what is everybody actually picking out? And now people judge your character based on what you pick out. So I'm way more selective. Before I just went with what I like. Now I'm like, now I'm finding myself picking things I didn't even like just so I can't be judged on Twitter.
Who, I don't have it in front of me. Who grabbed the Pennzoil, man? Somebody just grabbed some oil for the car or something? That was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's super resourceful. He's one of our GAs, so he might be scrounging for some money right now. And I'm assuming he's just trying to help out. He rides with Aaron Katsuma to work some days, so maybe he's trying to help out Aaron, like, you know. It's a whole team together mantra, even after wins.
I absolutely love it. Well, I think when I had Nico on a while back, I think it was last year, he said a lot of times people will just grab stuff for the picture, even though that's not their chosen item. So to be fair, when we're judging you guys, we also have to take that into account that, you know, there's a lot of pressure, and you just go grab whatever's closest to you.
Hey, if you're in college basketball, you got to deal with pressure. So if they can't deal with the Twitter judgment, we got other issues.
What did you get, by the way?
Well, I don't have to deal with the pressure, just the kids, right?
Yeah, No,
but no,
yeah, you're good.
I got cheesecake, ice cream, and Sour Patch Kids. So I was on a sugar high at that point.
Sour Patch Kids.
There's an old coach I used to work with that said, like, it doesn't matter what win it happens, how it happens, you always celebrate wins, and when you stop celebrating wins, you need to get out.
No, and I absolutely love it. Again, that's why I think you guys are such a unique group, win or lose. But that was a nice win for you guys. I know there's six, seven games left. We'll see this Rams team, you know, really bust their hump to make, you know, give yourself a good spot in the tournament. And you have all that right in front of you, too. I mean, we've seen it done. We've seen teams get hot and make runs. That's why this time of year is always such a wild time.
No, absolutely. And I think we got the bye week right now, and I think it's coming a perfect time, for our group. So hopefully we can get a couple more guys healthy and kind of rejuvenate and get some rest for Isaiah and John, and then get ready to go and get ready for Boise State on the 15th and then get ready for the conference tournament after that. But they're excited, and that's the best part about this. Sometimes you lose four or five games, and you lose that excitement and joy for what you're doing, and they definitely have that back, and we never lost that completely, and that's what I'm most proud of. And I know they're excited to get back on the 15th for that Boise State game, too.
Yeah, no question about it. I'll be looking forward to it, Coach. Always appreciate you guys. That coaching staff, your group over there, one of my favorites for sure. Let's catch up again, man. We'll talk to you soon. We'll be following you the rest of the way, and we just wish you best of luck, my friend.
Sounds good, Brady. Thank you again, man.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. Ali Farouk Manesh, CSU men's assistant basketball coach. Great dude. I love basketball specifically because it does seem like coaches will give you a lot more. You know, good or bad, coaches will just open up and kind of tell you like it is. And it's just, it's been frustrating. No question. This team has a different lineup each and every night. Guys that I didn't see at the beginning are now getting a lot of playing time, which is good and bad for the future. You want some of these guys that might be a part of your crew next year getting some of those meaningful minutes. But last night was a good win. CSU is just kind of, I'll steal the Jay Norvell term, like a gritty. They're kind of gritty. They're not getting blown out. They're staying in games. They're staying in touch. Can they make a run? Do they have a shot of making a run? That will be the big question for them going forward. We'll see. I mean, Isaiah Stevens is that special of a player where he could come up and do some special things, and maybe this team rallies around him. Seeing John Tonjay get going, too. I mean, that guy's a good player. He just hasn't found his touch consistently this year, so I still think he can make a run as well. 22 minutes after the hour, we'll jump out, take a short break. Let's talk about the GOAT. Let's talk about the greatest of all time when it comes to basketball. And how far away is Nikola Jokic from starting to get into those conversations, those stat conversations, too, as far as, you know, most points, most assists, most rebounds? How many more years would he have to go? We'll talk about that next. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
I got a little sappy with my tweet last night about the Joker. About how hard who he is as the Nuggets superstar, as our superstar. And, you know, I'm just thinking, I mean, LeBron's, yes, he's up there in the GOAT conversations. To be in that conversation is amazing. But for most of his career, at least once he started going to Miami, he was always like, I'm the best, and me, and this is what I'm interested in, and this is the political thing I'm going to talk about today, and these are the players that I want on my team and the coaches I want. Meanwhile, Joker just keeps clocking in, man. He reminds me of the Gladiator with the mask on. You know, just, I don't need any fame. I don't want to be known. I'm just going about my business every day. Because I'm supposed to go out and score, pass, rebound, triple doubles, whatever. He is Russell Crowe. He is Maximus in the Gladiator. Is that too sappy? It's good, man.
It's another movie I haven't seen. I know it's one I need to watch.
That one you gotta watch.
But yeah, I mean, Jokic, like we talked about it a ton. He's not a, you know, a boisterous type of player. He's not gonna brag about himself. He's not gonna, you know, demand attention for himself. And we're just gonna give him the attention because he plays basketball at such a high level. And for him, he's just playing the game he loves. It's work, but it's not like, oh, I gotta go to work. I get to go to work. I get to play with this great team for this great city and these crowds and the fans.
There's a scene in Gladiator where Caesar is struggling to be alive. And Maximus is there.
The Caesar.
Okay. Maximus is there, his general, who just led them to another battle. And he's just a great fighter, great leader. And Caesar's laying there and he goes, I want you to be the next Caesar. I want you to be my successor, not my son, who's Joaquin Phoenix. I want you to be the guy. And Maximus goes, I appreciate it, but I want to go home to my family. I don't need all the accolades. I don't need that. And that's, Caesar looks at him and goes, that's why it has to be you. That's why you have to be the Caesar. It must be you. That's Joker. I don't want to be the MVP. I don't care about all that stuff. I just want to help my teammates. And that's why you are the MVP that we want. Joker will soon be the face of the NBA. How far has he got to go to get to those top? I know, a little sappy, I know, but that's what it reminded me of. Joker just gets up, he puts his armor on, he goes out there, kills a couple of guys, takes his armor off, goes back to his little cell. Is Gladiator. I am Gladiator. That's the Joker. I am Joker. When do I basketball?
I like it.
I basketball.
Let's go Nuggets.
Yeah. Okay, so realistically, though, he's easier to root for. Yes, he complains to the ref. I don't like that very much. But I haven't seen him flail like LeBron James.
No.
How far away is Joker from getting into these conversations when you're talking about top tens of, you know, the stats for NBA stats? So obviously, we know LeBron James is now number one, 38,390 points. Whew, that's a lot. That is a lot of points. Joker has 11,525. How many years has he played? Is this his sixth year? Sixth or seventh? So, I mean, he's still a pretty young guy. I think it's fair to say he's got double left in his career. He can double what he's done. So if he can double that, then he's looking at like 22, 23,000 if he just doubles it. But every year he's gotten better, so you can see that average go up. Is there a chance that Nikola Jokic cracks the top 10? That would be 27,409. That's where Moses Malone is. He'd have to completely more than double the output he's putting out there as far as points.
I think it's definitely possible. I don't think that's something he's going to be personally trying to reach.
No, he probably won't get there. What about assists?
Definitely.
He has 3,762 assists. To get into the top 10, you do have current players in this. Russell Westbrook is top 10 in assists. He is at 9,002. That's doable, isn't it? Because his assist numbers are just so good. I mean, and if you look at the amount of assists every year that he's getting, you know, you could see that number go up. He's getting to the point where, you know, he had 584 last year. He had 600 the year before that, 500 the year before that. So, yeah, every year he's good for at least 500. He's already at 481 right now. So he's going to get you another 500. So if he goes, how many years do you think he's going to play? Do you think he's got seven more years left? Easy?
That's fair.
If he plays seven more years, if he just stays on that average at 500, which he's going to get past 500 probably in the next 3 days, but if he just averaged 500, that's another 3,500 assists for him. So that would come short. That would be short. He'd be at 7,200, of assists. But that number is going to go up. Because if you think about his first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, this is his eighth year, his first 2 years in the league, he got 189 assists. He got 359 assists after that. Then once he started to come into his own was 2017-18. That's when he started to hit those big assist numbers. So 2 years, if he mimics what he did in the next 8 years, but you add two solid years and take away the bad 2 years, then that's easy another 2,000 that you could add. So maybe 1,500. I'm going to say he will get into the top 10 of all time. When it comes to assists, he won't break any records though. He's not going to pass John Stockton with 15,806, right? He'd have to get to the point where he's like hitting 600 to 700 assists a season, and that would be phenomenal.
Well, assist only counts if your teammate makes the bucket.
It's true. Got to have guys making shots. Rebounds. I don't know about the rebound side of it either. He's at 14,627 is where Dwight Howard is at number 10. And he's got 5,987. Again, if he doubles that, he's still going to come up short. But his numbers have been just so much better the last 6 years. So the first year, his rookie year, he wasn't getting the totals that we're seeing now. Not even close. Second year, still not close. Third year, getting there, but not quite there. Eastside Chris, I worry, Joker, as Forrest Gump running across America, stops and says, I'm done. Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely a big concern of mine.
That could happen this summer.
That could happen. I would not be shocked. I don't have any inkling, any reason to believe that would happen this summer. Nothing like that at all. But if he were to come up and say, we just won the title, I just won a third MVP, there's not much more I could do. Although he just signed the big contract. So I think that he's also the kind of guy that's like, I got to honor all of it or at least some of it, more of it, you know, more than 50% of it. But, I was thinking a lot last night. It's like we're talking a lot about GOATs. We're talking a lot about LeBron James. What is it going to take for the Joker to really get into those conversations? And this is why you can't just take stats and you can't just take titles. Even though the Joker likely is not going to crack the top five, scoring, top five assists, top five rebounding, maybe he will. He's going to have to play a lot more years, though. But if he's likely not going to. But he could really make some noise in passing up folks on the triple-double counter. You know, he could really climb there. He's got two MVPs. That stuff's going to count. He could have a championship when it's all said and done. Maybe multiple championships.
Likely finals MVP, too.
Yes, if they get in and they win it, there'd probably be nobody else that would get that. So those are going to be things that are going to account for him to be in this thing. But he's going to have to work even extra hard. He's going to need even more awards because the NBA and a lot of the following have a hard time really saying that Nikola Jokic is the best. I interview young college basketball players every single week on the show, whether we're doing the Dalen show or Isaiah show or we had Riley on yesterday. I always ask, like, where does Nikola Jokic rank for you guys, like, as far as top players? Most of them don't really throw Joker up there. I think Isaiah Stevens did, but that's a guy who can appreciate the art of passing. But a lot of guys just don't, because why? He's not really well advertised. They're getting national spotlight games, but these other guys are really well advertised. Luka is really well advertised. LeBron, obviously. We have LeBron. It's like constant all the time. So Joker's going to have to achieve a lot more greatness, I think, in so many aspects. He's going to have to continue to climb the triple-double ladder. He's going to have to win a few titles. He's going to have to maybe win another two MVPs before it's all said and done, be the four-time MVP. So, yeah, he's got his work cut out for him. He is, I'll tell you what, you might have been right on this one, on Joe. He needs 11 more triple-doubles to pass LeBron James.
It's only like six games for him.
11 more. Now that's Tanner Schwint math right there.
No, if you get a triple-double in the half, then you only need six games.
That's true. Sit him down and rest. Triple-doubles, I got to admit, they're coming easier. At the beginning of the season, they weren't coming so easy because he was getting those Sombor doubles.
Until they had posted the stat line with like 2 minutes left last night in the first half, I didn't know he was that close.
Yeah.
And then I was like, he's at 9 assists.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's got a triple-double and we have 2 minutes left.
Ridiculous, man. Just ridiculous. He will pass LeBron James, whether it's, because this is all regular season, isn't it? It's not playoffs, right? They just do regular season. I think all these stats we're talking about are regular season stats. I believe Because Tanner would say, well, you can't use playoffs because not everybody gets into the playoffs. And so you can't like use that math because they got more games than everybody else. And it's not fair. Well, he says it like that. There's no R. He will pass LeBron James. He will pass Jason Kidd. As soon as he passes LeBron, he's got one more game to pass Jason Kidd. So he will finish fourth. He will get to fourth very, very soon. It's amazing. Does it take into account, are we doing just playoffs or is it regular season?
I think it's just regular
season. I'm pretty sure that's the case. I'm telling you, dude, is he easily going to get to number two? Oscar Robertson has 181.
That's going to be tough. I think at least he'll finish three.
I guarantee you he'll finish three. I'm just assuming, you know, if, unless he gets hurt. But right now, he's getting about, let's see, he gets about five. Yeah, I think he can do it, man. I don't know. It's going to be tough to pass up.
How many has this season been? 12?
For no, 19. He had 19 last year. So he's going to pass what he did last year. This is definitely his career high for triple doubles is 19. So he just tied it.
Wow.
So I think that's why it was such a big deal last night. I didn't realize that. I just now realized that. So he needs one more to get his career high. He gets 20.
What does he finish the season with?
How many games are left? He has played
like 20. 24.
There's a lot of games left still. Let's see. There's 35 games left. Is that right? Yeah, there's 35 games left. He will easily pass LeBron. You're right. I didn't think it was going to happen. He's going to do it. He's going to pass LeBron James and Jason Kidd this year. How many more will he get in 35 games? Is it fair to think he's easily going to get 20 more? No. I can't imagine that, right?
I'm curious to see how this team approaches the last few weeks of the season, like the last 5-6 games going into the playoffs, depending if they have, you know, a top 4 seed locked up at that point. So I'd be comfortable saying 20.
Okay. And I think I'm off a little bit. You were right. The stats I'm looking at, they have not counted the last 7 games for Joker. They've counted his triple doubles, but they have not counted his games played yet. So there's 27 or 28 games left. Dude, he's going to pass those guys. It's just a matter of time before he passes LeBron. Won't that be kind of special, dude? LeBron gets his scoring title the same year he gets passed up in triple doubles by the Joker.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. Dixon says, I freaking hate LeBron so much, but Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, Bird, and Magic, those are his guys. I listen. I'll argue with you about the GOAT thing any day of the week. But if you're telling me he's in your top three or top five, I can't argue with you on that. I think that's a little more subjective. Michael Jordan.
If you don't put him in the top five, you're like a complete hater.
Because
in terms of basketball players,
he
is a top five.
I get it, though, because there is Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Those are guys we're not even really factoring in when you're talking about the Larry Birds and the Magic Johnsons, Michael Jordans, and Kobe's. So I guess it depends. You know, it's like when I was saying Joker was easily the best player the Nuggets have ever seen 2 years ago, people lost their crap and they're like, it's Dan Issel. And I'm like, dude, you are drunk and probably stoned. You should probably not be driving right now and talking. Or doing anything or breathing at this point. That's a terrible take. But people that watch those players really, really appreciated their greatness. And they got it. So I don't know if you're the ultimate hater. If you can give me your real list. Now, if you don't give me a list and you just say he's not top 10 or top 5 and I go, well, then who's your top 5? And then you can't figure it out. Then you're a hater. You want to say that he's not top 5. Give me your list. You want to say he's not top 8, give me your list. If you give me the list and it's those guys, because there's so many above the surface basketball fans that are like, oh, I know Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. Oscar Robinson, like Robertson, like that guy. Wilt Chamberlain, okay, he was old. He was back in the day. I didn't pay attention. You have to understand the history of this game if you want to have that real argument. That's why, you know, my guy on Twitter was like, dude, it's LeBron and there's no debate. There absolutely is a debate about the GOAT, but I'm just right about it. I'm sorry. It's Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan revolutionized the game of basketball. He changed it forever. Greats came before him. Greats came after him. But none like Michael Jordan. He changed everything. You don't believe me, watch the documentary. Because it will change your opinion. His mindset. Was he the nicest guy in the world? Hell no. But his mindset was different. It's Michael Jordan. And then we can open up the discussion for debate after that. I'm okay if you want to say. Noob says he isn't in my top five. And guess I will get a new a-hole patch. No, I'm not saying your Angel's saying that. I don't think you're an a-hole. Give me your top five, though. If he's not your top five, give me your top five. That's all I'm asking. Another text here. He said, Chris, fellas, Oscar Robertson was the complete player. To break that record would be awesome. Yeah. It really would be. Which one? Where's Oscar sitting in points? I think I was saying he's like, where is he? I don't know. Which record? The triple-double record? I don't know, he said, Chris. Elaborate. Tell us more. Give us more on that. 44, do we have to take a bottom-of-the-hour break? Are we at bottom of the hour? Okay, we got to get out of here and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Jenny Kavanaugh from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely breaking it. He'll break it. I'm saying it right now. Joker, Russell Westbrook keeps going, though. Does he get triple-doubles anymore? He doesn't really get them anymore, does he? Because he's got 198. If Joker plays 8 more years, he should easily get it. Now, that's a big if. That's a big if. But we'll see. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Noob says my top five is MJ, Wilt, Kobe, Bird, and Russell. And see, I can't argue with you. MJ, good. You're right. Congratulations. Everybody's right that says MJ. Outside of that, it's very subjective. It really is. Because I can't. Wilt Bill Russell has the titles and stats. I mean, especially the titles. Larry Bird has some titles and stats. Kobe has titles and stats. Wilt has a ton of stats. It's hard to argue. You can see why LeBron, when he says I'm the greatest, and da da da, and everyone says there's no debate. You can see why there is, in fact, a pretty big debate. Dixon says LeBron is a beast physically and stayed healthy, but he also benefited tremendously from a time in the NBA where the stars started getting every little call if you breathed on them and was never in danger of fouling out. He would just lower his shoulder and run into you and get the call every time. I was going to mention that earlier. You know, Jordan, if he needed to win a game and pull up for two, he'd pull up at the free throw line extended, pop a little shot. LeBron, if he really needs to score, if he has to score, he is just going to charge at you and hope he either gets a call or doesn't get a call the other way and the ball just falls in. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't take skill to get the ball in the hoop from that play, but there is part of his brain that's thinking, I hope I can get fouled here. We'll be right back. We got to finish up the show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sean Payton, it is. Are we feeling Broncos country? Hear team talk and coverage every day in Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
It's always a fun debate. The GOATs, the greatest of all time. But LeBron James, you know what? I get it. Dixon texting in goes, hey, the fact that he has to declare that he's the best makes me want to throw up in my mouth. That's the kind of stuff that I think turns people off. But I like what you said, Angel, today, throughout the day. You have to be able to put that aside and just look at him as a player. And as a player, he is one of the best. if I'm betting on a team in the year 2023 and I know LeBron's on that team and there's 3 minutes left and I look at whose superstar is going to be scoring clutch game points, like right now, yeah, LeBron's up there. And he's up there compared to a lot of guys, guys I didn't watch either. So I, to be fair, so a lot of guys, Magic Johnson's on my list, but I didn't watch him. Larry Bird's on my list, but I didn't watch him. So seriously, though, it's an amazing feat. He is my least favorite superstar. I stand by that. Guys that, you know, Brian brought up a good point. Dude, he's always done things, you know, he's always taking good care of himself. He hasn't done anything illegal. And that part, mad respect for, because you do hear a lot of crap. But I don't hear that about a lot of the top stars we just talked about. I mean, a lot of those guys. You know, a lot of those guys aren't. It shouldn't. The fact that he didn't get in trouble shouldn't be a gold star. Just don't break the law. Just don't be an idiot. All right. That was fun today, though. Great show. Three interview show. Shout out to Daylon Kuntz, who had a phenomenal game on Monday. And hopefully they can have a strong finish. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. And Ali Farokhmanesh, CSU men's assistant coach. We covered it all. UNC, CU, and CSU all in one program. That'll do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. Good night, Northern Colorado.